We're coming now in this ninth Sunday of the year to the end of something known in the Scriptures as the Sermon on the Mount. And every Sunday we've been looking at some aspect of the Sermon on the Mount. It's a great, great sermon and of the Lord, and it's been a real exciting privilege for me to be able to preach all the way through the Sermon on the Mount. Without having, if you will, to break away, as we often do, for Lent. Lent is coming this Wednesday. So this year we've had the opportunity to look at the whole Sermon on the Mount somewhat in an uninterrupted way. And what a remarkable sermon it is. I want to talk to you today on this conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount that the Lord makes, that simply titled the message, "There's Just No Other Way." Just no other way. Now, what the Lord has been doing for us here that we need to remember is that He has been painting a picture of what a transformed human person is like. See, the Lord is offering you and me a life, a new life, a transformed and increasingly sin-free life. And that's a gift the Lord wants to give us if we're willing to accept it. And so the Lord has been describing all these different aspects of what the transformed human person is like. And remember, the cause of this new life is not your flesh or mine, your will or mine. The cause of this new life is the indwelling presence of Jesus Christ within us, living His life in us through His indwelling Holy Spirit. Increasingly, the Lord wants to live His life in us so that the life we live will be His life. And how many of you know that Jesus doesn't sin? And Jesus doesn't have all these buttons that you can push. And Jesus doesn't just fly off the handle. And Jesus is not out of control. Jesus is Lord and God. And so the Lord is basically trying to teach us, listen, I'm offering you this new life. It's a life that where you become poor in spirit and you hunger and thirst for righteousness, where you are blessed even when you're persecuted, you're still praising God. And He's offering us a life that's increasingly free of this anger and this retribution and this hatred toward other people. A life where we have increasing authority over our sexuality and we are no longer lusting and sexually exploiting people. We begin to see that this new life also means that we have a great love for our family and for our spouses and for our children. And when we make commitments, we keep them. And it's a life that allows us to speak the truth in love, to be a man or a woman of our word, and to make commitments and be careful to keep them. And it's a life that is increasingly filled with even a love for my enemies and for those who hate me and persecute me. I increasingly am more compassionate, more kind, and more understanding of even troublesome people in my life. Now look, brothers and sisters, the Lord can do this for us. Amen? He's able to do it. And it's a life that's increasingly dominated with a deep, deep love for the Heavenly Father and a trust in Him, so that a lot of our anxiety begins to go away. So this is what the Lord has been doing all these weeks now, for all 6 weeks of this sermon that we've been following. That's what the Lord is doing. He's painting this picture for us so that we can increasingly know what He can do for us and say, yes, Lord, continue this work. Now today, as He concludes the sermon, He then fundamentally says this to us. There's just no other way for you to come to glory than for you to allow me to work this work in you. There is no other path, no other way. And so today He's urgently asking us not just to admire this picture and say, well, that's probably good for men and women in religious life or No, but to increasingly desire this life and to say, yes, Lord, yes, completely yes, from the bottom of my heart to the depths of my soul, yes, Lord, enter me, continue to live in me. I cast myself on your care and I ask your precious blood and the power of your cross to transform me. The Lord is asking us today for a yes. And he's warning us, there's no other way, no other way at all. So as we look then at this gospel today, take note of what the Lord begins with. He first of all talks about the problem that a lot of people have who are people of faith. And the problem is lip service Christianity. Lip service discipleship. You see, there's a tendency for all of us, including the preacher, to come on into church and say, Hallelujah, Lord. Yes, Lord. And then on Monday morning, we're back to God knows where, you know? And we're not really obeying Christ, and we're not really allowing him to make this entry into our heart, and we're not staying with his word, and we're just pretty much coming in, paying him lip service, and then going off and doing our own thing. Now, listen to what he says. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. Now, you see, there's a kind of an all or nothing scenario here, isn't there? You know, you're either going to accept this gift that the Lord wants to give and be with him in heaven, or you're not, and you're going to end up in hell. It's kind of an all or nothing scenario, isn't it? Now, you know, our flesh doesn't like these all or nothing scenarios. We want to have a little bit of a fudge factor. We want it to be a little more vague and fuzzy. You know, I'll follow the Lord pretty much, you know. And that should be enough, right? That's enough, isn't it? You know, just to kind of follow him, sort of, pretty much, most of the time. And we want that to be enough. And the Lord is saying, listen, I'm telling you right now that you've got to follow me all the way. And there's no room in the end for any compromises. Now, I know that it may take time for some of these wonderful promises of the Lord to come to full effect in us, but brothers and sisters, in the end, there's heaven or hell. And the Lord wants you and me to make a choice. And the Lord wants you and me then to have that choice be vigorous all week long so that we're not just paying him lip service, putting our tithe and saying a few hallelujahs and a shout, a few Lord amens and all of those things, and then go home and all of this has no impact on us. The Lord says, no, I want a wholehearted acceptance of this vision for your life. Now, let me try to give you an analogy to explain why it's a kind of an all or nothing thing. Suppose you give me directions to come to your house. And you tell me, now look, you know, you need to go down East Capitol and hang a right at Benning Road, see? Now, a couple different scenarios. Let's say that I'm going on down East Capitol and I don't feel like turning right. I'm just not in the mood. So I keep going straight. Well, brothers and sisters, I either follow all the directions or God knows where I end up, right? I'll be all the way across town. I'll drive past that little sign called the edge of the earth. So you see, it's not enough to just say, well, I'm going to sort of follow the instructions. Another example might be what I would call more careless driving. I'm just kind of tootling along and not really paying much attention to what intersections I'm going through. And, you know, I may have passed Benning Road. I don't know. Maybe I did. Maybe I didn't. Who knows? I can't really say. But just sort of tootling along, tuning the radio and not texting. And before you know it, I'm lost. Because you see, either I'm going to be intentional about following your directions quite exactly, or I'm going to be lost. Either I follow the directions and I get to your house, or I don't, and God knows where I end up. You see the vision now, right? And what the Lord is trying to say to you and me today is, he's not got his finger in our face and saying, if you don't do it like I say, you're going to go to hell. That's not really what the Lord is saying. He's saying, pay attention, he says to us. You're either going to allow me to work this work in you so that you obey all the directions, or you're not going to make it to heaven, because there's just no other way. There's only this one way, and that's with Jesus Christ. And we can't just sort of tootle through life, tuning the radio and paying really little attention and just kind of vaguely heading in the general direction. That's not enough. We're going to be lost before we know it. And we certainly can't go through life saying, I will not do what I'm supposed to do. We're certainly not going to make it that way. So the Lord is just saying, pay attention. You're either going to follow the directions and get home, or you're going to end up in hell. Again, our flesh doesn't like that. We kind of want, like, you know, to be vague and just sort of fake it till we make it. But in the end, the Lord says, you got to be more intentional than that. I want you to wholeheartedly accept this vision, and I want you to let me go to work in your life. Okay, so the Lord is saying to us, he says, not everyone who just says, Lord, Lord, is going to make it. You know, just shouting amens and getting happy in church is a good thing, but it's not of itself enough. What's really needed is ultimately obedience. Now, church, though, let me ask you a question. How are you going to obey? How are you really going to obey Jesus Christ? How are you going to obey the Father? He says here, you got to obey my Father. You got to do his will. Who really obeys the Father? Only Jesus Christ in his humanity. Only Jesus Christ perfectly obeys the Father. Are you praying with me? So you say, well, then I'm lost. No, not if Jesus Christ begins to live his life in you, you're not lost. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm also glad that, you know, if you get lost, you know, what do? You pick up the cell phone these days, right? And you say, I'm lost. You idiot, I told you to turn right. And the Lord is that way too. He allows us at some point, you know, to make the old cell phone call. It's called repentance and confession, right? And to call him up. Jesus is on the main line and he's waiting for you to call him up and get clarified. But in the end, church, we've just got to obey. We've just got to do what he says. And so it is that we see this vision that the only way we're going to perfectly obey the Father is for Jesus Christ to really live his life in us. So again, the Lord is not saying to you in your flesh to obey the Father. He's saying, you let me live my life in you, and you'll start obeying the Father, and you're going to be heading in the right direction. Now, that's the first step of this gospel. Now, the second step brings up a very puzzling line. Many, he says, will come to me on that day, namely the day of judgment, and they will say, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name and drive out demons in your name and perform mighty deeds in your name? And I will declare to them solemnly, I never knew you. Now, it's a puzzling line, because at first we say, well, God knows everything, right? I mean, how can God not know me? I mean, God made me. How can God not know me? And so what is the Lord getting at here? What is the vision of this line, I never knew you? This leads us to a very important point in the spiritual life. In the Bible, you see, part of the problem in understanding this line is that in the modern world, the word know, K-N-O-W, usually means intellectual knowing. It's something in our brain. That's a set of facts. So we know, but it's considered only in the intellectual sense of knowing. But in the Bible, the word know, K-N-O-W, is a much richer a concept. And the richer concept is this, that to know biblically means to have deep, intimate, personal experience of the person or the thing known. So again, It's one thing to know about God, and it's another thing to know the Lord. Do you hear the difference? So the Lord is really saying to these individuals who come before him, look, I never knew you. What he's saying is that you and I have never really had that personal walk. You never let me really live my life in your heart. You never really let me know you, and you really don't know me. You know about me, but you don't know me. Listen, church, what the Lord wants to do for us is to live in us in a deep, intimate, personal, and experiential way. And he wants us to live in him in that same way. Now, God is all powerful, but God won't just do anything. God has asked you and me to freely admit him into our heart. Now, this is very important. He's knocking at the door, and we have to answer. He will not barge in. He will not simply take possession of us. He will not treat us like robots. We are not robots. We are free human beings called to love him. And he wants our love. But we have to freely allow him to enter into our heart and to come to know us in the deep biblical sense of the word know. He wants to have and be in a relationship with us that is deep, that is intimate, that is personal, and that is transformative. The normal Christian life is to be in living, conscious contact with the Lord Jesus Christ at every moment of your day. That is the normal Christian life. I didn't say everybody's living, and I said it's the normal Christian life. It's what should be expected. And so the Lord is saying to these people, listen, I wanted to enter your heart. I wanted to become part of your life. I wanted to have a deep, intimate, personal walk with you. But you refused. I don't know you. Not intellectual knowing. I don't know you in the sense of deep, intimate, personal knowing. You never allowed it. But they say, but Lord, we used your name to expel demons. We called and we announced and prophesied things in your name. And the Lord says, listen, anybody can call on my name. And they can even misuse my name. You can hit your thumb with a hammer and call on Jesus' name. But here's the question, and pay attention. Very important. It's one thing for you to call on the name of Jesus, but it's another thing for you to listen Jesus calling your name. Do you see how different that is? And what happens is, a lot of people are going around talking about God, but they're not listening to God. Jesus is calling your name. Hush. Somebody is calling your name, and his name is Jesus. And the question is not just whether you will use the name of Jesus or misuse the name of Jesus. The question is whether you will hear him call your name and my name. You see the vision? So they say, well, Lord, we were using your name all day long. We talked all about you. He says, yeah, you knew about me, but you never really knew me. And you never let me know you. I don't know you. I haven't been able to indwell in you and transform you to give you the kind of obedience and the kind of transformation that's necessary to enter heaven. There is just no other way than a deep, intimate, and personal walk with Jesus Christ. Do you see what he's getting at? And this is how the Sermon on the Mount ends. The Lord says, you're either going to do this and be with me forever, or you won't. You won't allow it. And you'll be separated from me forever. There comes a day when your decision on this matter is forever fixed, and you'll never change your mind. Come to me now, says the Lord. Let me begin to know you, and you should know me. And let's begin this deep, intimate, personal walk, which alone can save us. There is just no other way. I'm just about done. I just want to review a couple of things with you. The Lord is simply saying to us, I'm offering you something. I'm offering you a completely new life. And the heart of this new life is not your flesh pulling it off. It's not you accomplishing it by your own strength. The heart of this new life is me living in you, remaining in you, transforming you. And if you allow it, you will see your life being changed. Now, church, is there a witness in here? That the deeper your relationship becomes with the Lord Jesus Christ, you're seeing your life changed. I am. I'm not going to boast. I'm not. You've heard me say it before. I'm just going to say, I'm not as angry. I'm not as lustful. I'm more joyful. I'm more serene. I'm more confident. The Lord Jesus is changing my life. He is not just simply issuing platitudes, sayings, moralisms, or slogans here. He is saying, I can and will change your life if you let me. But you've got to let me. See, a lot of people say they want to go to heaven. They just don't want God to be in the way when they get there. They're thinking about heaven as golf courses and mansions, and they've got their own list. Church, the heart of heaven is to be with God. And we're either going to allow him to enter our heart and set forth a flame of love for him there, or we wouldn't even be happy in heaven anyway. And that is the greatest tragedy of all for those who don't go to heaven, that they're just not happy anywhere. Nothing makes them happy. That is the great tragedy. So again, there's just no other way. The Lord has been describing something very beautiful for us, a whole new life. And the Lord today is simply urging us, pleading with us, softly and tenderly. Jesus is calling, sinner, come home. Sinner, come to me. Let me live my life in you. Let me rejoice with you. Let me change you and transform you. Let me know you and come to know me. A deep, intimate, personal walk with Jesus is the only way. I have it on the best of authority that as the Lord finished the Sermon on the Mount, the people that day started singing an old spiritual. Because they heard Jesus say, there's just no other way. And that word just reminded them of an old spiritual. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus, is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. I'm weak. Someone say amen. I'm weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close to thee. Ah, Jesus, there's just no other way. Just a closer walk with thee. Grant it, Jesus, that's my plea. And if the Lord hears us say that today, and not just today, but Monday and Tuesday, church, we're on the right path. I praise God for every one of you. You've helped to show me how true these words of Jesus are. And I've come to experience and to expect that when Jesus makes this promise to transform me, he is true to his word. I promise you in the Lord Jesus Christ, a completely new life. And there's only one way to it, just a closer walk with thee. Amen.